The Lord's message today is that He wants each of us to sincerely believe and be able to say to all the world without hesitation that we belong together and are of the same mind in Christ because the church is my family. Now, that being true, there will be times that differences of opinions arise between church members, which can create potential conflict in the body of Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, Paul imparts an avenue of hope for peaceful resolutions when he taught us, let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Yet unfortunately, relationships between two women in the Philippian church, they were strained. And they just could not get along. So Paul reiterated and strongly urged both of these servants of the Lord who carried out the work of the ministry, as well as a third person in the church leadership, to strive to be of the same mind in the Lord. Out of reverence for Christ as the head of the church, we are to have the perspective that each of us as our beloved members of the same family. And we are willing to choose. We are willing to be subject one to another in the same way that the Lord commanded family system members to treat one another. To treat one another with love and with respect and obedience and honor in a constant state of honesty and trust with and for one another. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn in your Bibles to the letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 21. And we're going to read about this family systems and how Paul was comparing it to how we are to treat one another as family members in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Be subject one to another. First thing you would have to ask is the question, why? Why should I subject myself in submission to another person in the member of this church? Why? Because we do it out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands. In what way are we supposed to do that? As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. As this church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. In what way are we to love our wives? As Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of water with the Word, that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without and blameless and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. Because we are many members of His one body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is a profound one, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And so you ask, well, what is that promise? And the promise is verse 3. For it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your earthly masters, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as to Christ, not in the way of eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same again from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and forbear threatening, knowing that He is both their Master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with Him. Pray with me for just a moment. Lord, powerful passage. Pour out on each one of us today Your unceasing wisdom, knowledge, guidance, understanding, discernment, to realize no matter what our role or our position is here on earth, that we recognize You as our true and only Master, that we will faithfully carry out Your appointed calling in our lives with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as servants of Christ, to do Your will with a humble and thankful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you unceasingly in the reading of His Word. As fellow family members and bondservants of Christ, I love that passage about the singleness of heart. If we in the body of Christ could be of the singleness of heart, what a revolution we would have in our mission in reaching souls for the lost. Singleness of heart to do God's will. Each of us must maintain, every single member of the church must maintain a high standard of love, of respect, of obedience, and of honor towards one another as is fitting unto the bride of Christ, which is the church. But what are some practical ways for us to do this as a church member and as a church family? With the purest of motives and the purest of intent, coming before God and one another with an attitude and a behavior of transparency that are honest, that are constant, that are trusting, We must be steadfast in praying together, in worshiping together, and in serving together. Looking at the handout that you have in your bulletin today, you see the symbol of infinity. Now, the infinity symbol was created by John Wallace. You know, if you change that W to an R, it'd be Rollis, so we're a little bit related. John Wallace in 1655, And it refers to things without any limit. Ad infinitum and perpetual. It is usually used in mathematics or physics to express some things that have no limit. Our God and His eternal heavenly kingdom, they are eternal and they are without any limit. In an effort to help bring clarity to the Lord's message for us today, I created this handout for you to keep in your Bible or to hang on your refrigerator, illustrating the perpetual cycle of a healthy, belonging together, growing church. Our church, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina. And understanding what it means when we proclaim to the world, the church is my family. When you read in verse 32 of our scriptures today, it tells us that these characteristics, these behaviors in a healthy family are vital in the character and attributes of our church family as well. This is a mystery. It is a profound mystery. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. When you look in chapter 5, verse 25, it mandates that we are to love one another. We are to love one another in the same way and to the same degree as Christ loves the church and gave Himself up for her. We read in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new covenant I give to you. That we what? That we love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men, all women, all children will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Are you getting the idea here? Are you understanding how God used the husband and the wife and the children and the slave and the master to have us get a word picture of how we are to be in one another, because every single one of you is a member of my family and I'm a member of your family. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, unfailing, have love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. I love this in 1 John chapter 3. This is how we know what love is. Are you ready for it? We know what love is because Jesus laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possession and sees a brother or a sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love but just by the words that come out of our mouth and our speech. But we love with actions and in truth. These actions and in truth are made evident. We can demonstrate actions and in truth when we make it the highest priority to pray together, to worship together, and to serve together. Love is one of the main ingredients in cultivating and growing a healthy church, one that is presented to Christ in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. We see in chapter 5, verse 33, that we are to respect one another. The second main ingredient in cultivating and growing a healthy church is having respect for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, but we beseech you, brethren, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. You can't get any more clearer than that. Philippians chapter 2, do not do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility. In humility, value others above yourself. Above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. That's what a family does. I've seen in this church over the last year, as we've gone through many challenges, I have seen how family units pull together, encourage each other, provide for each other. This is a beautiful testimony that this church has of what a biblical family should be doing. And we need to be doing that same thing with one another in the church family. And we are. And it's growing. And I'm thrilled about it and I'm thankful to the Lord for it. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says we must willingly surrender our will to one another as an act of holy obedience. Another important ingredient that each of us must practice is the willingness to surrender our will, our wants, our desires, our personal preferences to those the Lord has appointed over us in the church body. This is a willful act of obedience. Luke 6:46 says, and you know what? I can tell you right now, probably everything that I have said, the Lord has said through me, everybody knows this. But I ask you this question. Would Jesus be looking at you in the face and say to you, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? What instruction are we given from the Lord relating to obedience in the church? In Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will be given an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I could tell you right now, when I pray for Lori and the different things that she has to do in the church, she is over the children, she's over the choir. I know we don't want to bring her grief, we want to bring her joy. How do you do that? Obeying God's word by obeying your leaders. Love, respect, obedience. These three must be in our moral fiber and character, which defines our church. But we read about one more action word. There's one more action word that must be an attribute of Christ's bride, the church. And that is in verse 2 of chapter 6, honor. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Therefore, it is vital to the health and growth of our church that we approach one another with ever deeper love. Every single day, I ask the Lord, help us to love one another deeper today. Help us to respect one another deeper today. Help us to be obedient to our leaders in our church deeper today. Help me have an opportunity to honor another person in the church today even deeper. But in what practical ways are we to build healthy patterns of applying these attributes with a spirit, with an attitude, with a behavior that is honest and constant and is trusting? If there are any differences between church members, Paul said God will reveal His will when we are obedient, when we are praying together, when we're worshiping together, and when we're serving together, praying together. Did you know that when we pray together, it strengthens our effective communication not only with God, but with one another? It allows and provides spaces for us to be listeners, for us to ask questions, and for us to seek clarity. When we pray together, We need to do it honestly. In Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 3, we have to be honest before the Lord, right? Because it says that God has already searched you. God already knows you. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you lie down. And He knows when you rise up. He knows your thoughts from afar and is acquainted with all of your ways. So let's be honest with God, because He cares for you and He cares for our church, His church. So when we pray together, let's be honest with the Lord and with one another. When we pray together, let's be consistent and constant. Philippians 4:6 says this: have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we pray constantly together, we are building healthy habits that make prayer, it makes prayer more apparent and relative and relevant in our own lives. Some practical ways that we, our church, should pray include praying that the gospel will change lives, not only here in our church, but in our community. We need to be praying for the unity of our body of Christ. How about that our church would impact our community? Praying for us to have a heart for the lost. Praying for sound doctrine. Praying for specific ministries that are going on. And praying for our corporate time of worship. So we're to pray honestly, we're to pray constantly, and we are to pray trustingly. Psalm 56 declares, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in Thee. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust without fear. What can flesh do to me? We can trust God completely because God always keeps His promises. So we are to pray honestly together, we're to pray constantly together, and we're to pray trustingly together. But we're also to do it worshiping together in a spirit of love and respect and obedience and honor, with a mindset that includes those characteristics of God, because He commands us to do so. In Hebrews 10, it says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and the living way, which He opens for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from any evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promises is faithful. And let us, here it is, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, don't neglect the meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we're to do that when we need to pray together as a church, as a family. We need to worship together continuously as a family. And in order for each of us to serve together in the spirit of love, respect, obedience, and honor, we must understand that Jesus loves us unconditionally. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 makes this point clear. But God showed His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The way we fall deeper in love with this church, let me repeat that. The way we fall deeper in love with this church is to serve together with an honest, sincere, trusting heart, regardless of what others' responses may be. And why? Because Christ gave His life for you and for His bride. We do it for Christ. During any togetherness act of corporate worship, corporate prayer, or corporate service in the church, every member must put on love, respect, obedience, and honor for one another in order to truly be pleasing to the Lord. We must approach one another with a spirit of honesty, consistency, and trust. But we don't do it for show, or not in the way of eye service as men pleasers, but we do it as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as unto the Lord. Because we belong together, your family system, my family system, we are a part of a system within systems, and that system is the church body. We are one in Christ. Because we belong together, when we consistently step out in faith to be honest and trusting towards, with, and also about one another, when we talk to others about one another, and we demonstrate the attributes with action and in truth, when we gather together to pray and worship and serve, it should always be from the heart as unto the Lord. Because always remember, what does it say in 1 Samuel? For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. As disciples of Christ, in pursuit of ongoing spiritual maturity, and my desire is that each one of us grow in all spiritual maturity and holiness every single day. And we want to. My prayer is to have you live a life of holiness. May we all be of the same single-mindedness, that is the same mind of Christ. As Jesus demonstrated in going to the cross in order to save us from eternal punishment for our sins and redeeming us and adopting us as His heirs to the kingdom of God and making us the church. I don't know if you know this, but He has made you His bride. That is a phenomenal, mind-blowing thought. If we truly desire resolution of our differences, God will reveal His solution if we come together with a sincere and humble heart. In James chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, it declares, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, keep on confessing your sins to one another, and keep on praying for one another so that you may be healed." This is honesty. This is trust. For the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. How can each of our church members be deemed righteous? How can you, in the sight of God, be deemed righteous? By keeping the Lord's commands. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest command, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let us demonstrate one to another the same kind of love, respect, obedience, and honor you prayerfully strive to show God. When you prayerfully strive to show God, to give Him respect, obedience, and honor, and love, you want others to show that same degree to you. God is saying to each and every single one of us, to that same degree that you show that to God and that you want shown unto you, you need to be doing that one to another in the church. Prayer is the church's greatest protection. When we pray together, when we worship together, and when we serve together to fulfill our mission, to press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus Do you know that the Lord promises us that when any differences arise between one another in our church, He will, that's a promise, He will reveal His truth to us in order to do why? In order to build up the unity and the oneness in the body of Christ as His beloved bride. If you need prayer and support today, or the Lord is calling you to become a member of this church, please feel free to come forward and let's pray with you right now. If you need to confess your sins to another, or to pray for someone that the Lord has laid on your heart, come forward so that you may be healed. The Lord is waiting for you to step out in faith and to be obedient to follow Him and His will in your life today. You come.